Welcome back to the Cinemania World Podcast, everyone. My name is Dwayne, and today we have another episode of the Box Office Report Show. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Larry Chilliboy, and Chilson. Hello.
Hello, hello. We're back, y'all.
How you living, Larry? What's going on? I feel like it's been a minute.
You know, it's not the surviving, bullshit. I guess. Shit.
Not the bullshit again. It's good to hear from you, Larry.
I know. We're back.
So what did we do? What did we miss? We missed last weekend the releases of Monkey Man and The First Omen. I saw Monkey Man. I still did not see The First Omen.
I saw
Larry
both.
Larry's calling me a horror anti this year.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? How was that box office last week?
Yeah, so The Monkey Man opened to $10 million, and The First Omen underperformed a little bit at $8.3 million. So both of them kind of came in on the lower end, but I don't know what we were expecting from The Monkey Man. I feel like a lot of people were thinking it's going to get this John Wick opening or something. But even the first John Wick actually didn't open that big. But no, I don't know. I feel like $10 million was right about what I was thinking for Monkey Man.
What did the first John Wick do?
Like,
you know what I mean?
13.
Did it really? Wow. What a great trajectory of each film. Because each film, they went up, didn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, maybe if we get a Monkey Man 2, maybe it can do that. Maybe. Yeah. The first one opened to $14.4 million, the first John Wick. So, and that's with Keanu Reeves, who obviously is a bigger star than Dev Patel. That's not like a small film like Dev out here fighting for his life to get this on the big screen.
I know. Which is crazy.
So, yeah, I think $10 million's good. First Omen. The thing with that, too, people need to remember, the Omen series is not very good, y'all. The first is a classic. The Omen, obviously, is a classic. After that, they're all pretty terrible. So, nobody's clamoring for the first Omen.
The only one I have ingrained in my head is that one that came out in, 2006.
Oh, like the remake?
Yeah, it was horrible. Just the worst. I was like, what is happening? You know, it was just also, not good.
I do. And I know some people were getting a little bit roasted for this. And I think it's just the way they framed it was suspect.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, I wonder if Immaculate and The First Omen coming out so close together kind of affected the box office. Not because they're first, not because they're female-led and female-directed, none of that. Because I know people saying, oh, God forbid we have... No, it's the fact that what we've been talking about on this podcast, those trailers looked so similar. The themes were so similar. I think The First Omen could have benefited from at least giving itself some space.
Some space,
from Immaculate. So that I think it's just didn't we just watch this movie a couple weeks ago? What's going on?
low key, the Lord's people are gonna get mad about this. Low key, The First Omen would have hit great in December.
Ooh. Could you imagine we released one on Easter? Because that Immaculate came out for Easter, and then they released The First Omen on Christmas.
You see how Immaculate kind of... Do you see how Immaculate kind of,
they had a good hold. They went up on Easter weekend.
But they capitalized on the fact that they were coming out on Easter weekend. Now imagine Christmas weekend, The First Omen.
You're right. And nobody really, we always get that early December horror dump. First weekend horror dump. But they usually perform okay. But we don't get horror at the holiday corridor usually. Even horror Christmas movies come out in November.
November, Violent Night. Didn't that come out in November?
Yeah, they usually come out before Christmas.
Yeah.
So it would have been, I don't know, it would have been hype. And to get that counter programming, I would have died. But I don't know. I think that hurt it. I don't think the budget was too big. I know the budget wasn't big for Monkey Man, so we're fine there. It was only $10 million, I think, acquired, because it was initially going to Netflix, and it got acquired to go to theaters. So Monkey Man's good. First Omen, I think, will be all right. I also saw another take that there's just horror is starting to, like, cannibalize itself. Like, there's too much horror movies coming out. And they tried to use, like, Night Swim, and they tried to use these other movies, Imaginary. Night Swim made back, like, 4 to 5 times its budget. So Imaginary made, like, 3 times its budget. So that's the thing. No, they're not making $100 million, but guess what? I mean, they cost $5 to $10 million to make. It is what it is. I don't know. I don't think it's really cannibalizing.
Also, why does horror have to be the genre to, like, move, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like to be the one to space itself out. I agree with the spacing out of the First Omen, but I'm, you know, an Immaculate, but I'm never gonna, like, you know, not want more horror throughout the year. You know, I feel like we don't get enough horror throughout the year.
Yeah, so. And we would have said that about, I think, literally anything. Like, if Monkey Man was coming out 3 weeks or 2 weeks after John Wick, you know, just from a marketing perspective, you're like, oh, this was a mistake. One of, like, you need to move your movie. So any kind of film like that, I think, you know, you need to give yourself space. But when it comes down to genres, no. Horror's not like, you know, I mean, really none of the genres should be kind of classified as, same. But horror can be so varied. Like, there are so many sub-branches that are kind of categorized under horror that you could have a new horror movie every week, and it's not going to be like the one you saw last week or the week before. One is supernatural, one's a slasher, one's a psychological horror. You know, like, you can have so many different types of horror films that I think, I don't know, I thought that was a crazy take.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't really understand that point when I saw it, because I did see that one, and I was like, oh, brother, I mean... Yeah, I don't know. So, so that was last weekend. So we can jump right into this weekend. Everyone, if you want to follow along, we are looking at the weekend of April 12th, 2024. We had the opening release of Civil War. And yeah, I'm going to go with Civil War as the main. I hate when you do that. I hate when you do it. You do it on purpose all the time. I'm not trying to slight, but that's the only big release of the weekend, you know? I mean, yeah, we'll go with Civil War. Okay, so Larry, let's, without further ado, let's go with number one. What came in at number one?
So, topping the box office this weekend was Civil War, which brought in $25.7 million in its opening weekend, which is by far the biggest opening for A24. The film has yet to open in international markets at this point, so it does stand at $25.7 million worldwide as well, with a B- cinema score.
Civil War, this is the biggest A24 opening, correct? Like, this is massive for them.
Hereditary, I think, was their biggest before, and that was 13.5. So it's by a long margin, it's A24's biggest opening.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really, really solid opening. For a movie like that, I kind of, even though it's A24... they did release it in almost 4,000 theaters. A movie like that, I kind of feel like, you know, I feel like the movie could have made a little bit more than what it did. But because of the studio, it's like, you know, it's great because, you know, it's great for them. But I feel like, I don't know if this was like a Universal flick or like, you know, Paramount. I feel like it could have gotten a little higher, even like 45 to 50.
Oh, wow.
Just because of the nature where we are, America, there's a lot of people who are like into this like division type of films and whatnot. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like if it was with another studio, it could have gotten a little higher.
Yeah, I think it definitely could have. I think IMAX screens definitely help. When do we see A24 getting IMAX screens? That's
Yeah, which is nuts. It's great that they have it though.
So they even did early access for this on Monday in IMAX, so you could see it Monday. I mean, they did really try to This is like blockbuster for A24, and they treated it like their first, maybe even, you could argue, blockbuster. Because usually A24 sometimes likes to pull those little sneak rollouts where you don't know when their movie's coming, really, because it says this date, but that's in 4 theaters. So this, I don't know. I think it was great. Alex Garland, we'll see if he actually retires from film or not. Because I think, is this also his biggest opening? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because Ex Machina.
Because Ex Machina, you know, is beloved, but it didn't, like, light up the box office by any means. No. Same thing with, what was it? Annihilation, obviously. Yeah. And then Man, good God. And Man was a flop. So, biggest opening for him?
Now, watch, you gotta do it like that. The way you said it, man.
Now, Dwayne, I felt like you were nicer to this movie than I was.
Oh, I was going to ask you, what were your thoughts on this film? But, like, you was not turning up. What happened, Larry?
I think it's very pretty. It's technically well. I mean, it's technically well made, and especially in IMAX. Oh, my God. The sound design was amazing.
Oh, it was great.
The sound design was so good in IMAX.
Might have been too loud for me. It felt like Dolby in some sections, but I thought it was,
utilized the speakers, like the surround sound type of speaker usage, was so good in my theater. I just left and I was like, what was the point of that movie? I don't know. Like,
oh, well.
It didn't have a point. I don't know. It was like, I don't even think it depicted, everybody's talking about, well, it's showing you the war journalism, but I don't even think it depicted them very well.
I said in the review, this is one of the rare times where I wish the movie was longer. And I said that because I wanted, in my review, which was just by myself, but in the review, I mentioned that I wanted a little bit more fleshing out of our journalist. I wanted more of, like, what was life like before all of this for them. I wanted more of the world building. And I think our president is like a big antagonist in this. It's like the guy to get. And I think he has like 2 scenes.
They had Nick Offerman on set for 5 minutes.
Right. Which Nick Offerman as president, as like, the Southern, like, America. I think that's amazing. I would have loved to have seen that. Like,
it's such a weird thing. Because there's also a third faction in this film. So if you don't know, because they gave out maps and stuff. So it's like the Western Alliance, which is California and Texas, up against the most of the country, which is still kind of under the president. And then there's a Florida Alliance.
I saw that.
Florida has its own branch. That Florida Alliance doesn't come into play at all. Like, I think they briefly mention it at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They never
talk about it again.
Yeah, that's what I mean when I say, like, a more world building. I want to see what else is going on around the world. I really think this is the reason why I did like the movie. I did like it a lot. I did like it. But what was stopping it from me giving it, like, a perfect, amazing score was just those type of shortcomings for me. And I also was saying things like, it's a movie that I thought it was very effective in what it was saying in a lot of the scenes. But I'm also like, I just, in 2024, I just, like, I know this country's horrible. You know what I mean? That's why the Purge movies have stopped kind of gaining traction. You know what I mean?
People are about to be mad at me. I will take the Purge and the way it handles this type of subject over Civil War every time.
Oh, well.
Because the Purge actually has a point of view. It has something to say. It's saying something. Look,
the Purge also gave me Black John Wick. I mean, that's all I can guess.
Look, the Purge. Because, they're kind of, in a lot of ways, they are similar in this dystopian future, showing you what could become based on how we are. This one deals more with, like, I don't know, the division of our country. And if we keep going down this path, this might be it. I don't know. People are saying, like, it's, they're trying to downplay it. Like, this is one of my things. If you know me, don't condescend to me. That's one way to really make me mad. And the people who like Civil War are taking on a very condescending tone very often. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you don't mind that it didn't say anything or didn't, give us any background, that's fine. Good on you. I'm glad. But to say that we're missing the point and it doesn't matter while the director himself is running around trying to explain the politics and tell us about why Texas and California together. They're making maps. They're talking about what kind of America you are. They're trying to do all the world building outside of the movie.
Yeah.
And that don't make sense to me. Do the world building in your film. Like that all, if it's not clear in your movie, then why are you doing it at all? I don't understand. That if it doesn't matter, you wouldn't be running around talking about it constantly in the interviews. But I also hated Kaylee Spaney's character. I'm sorry. I hated her. I thought she was annoying and stupid. And horrible. I could not stand that girl.
So one scene that everyone's kind of talking about, of course, you know, the Jesse Plemons scene. Mm-hmm. The way we got there, I was baffled. I was like, okay, so you see a guy, I mean, they're dropping bodies into a pit. Spoilers, I guess. Mild spoilers. I think they're dropping bodies into a pit. The guy's wearing reds. There's nothing about him that screams American military. Nothing. Besides, like, he looks like, I just look at him and he looks like just an extremist.
Yeah.
So one of our characters is like, yeah, you know, just go talk to him. I was like, what? I was like, what? What are you going to, you're going to go, okay. So he just goes, hey, buddy, hey, how are you? Ah, it's those two guys. I mean, those are our friends. Let's get out of here. We're press or, Jesse Plemons, like, what the fuck? And yeah, I mean, I'd raise a gun too. Like, who the fuck are you guys? You know what I'm saying? It was, our characters were not the smartest. I'll say that. Okay. Yeah. You know, like running into gunfire in certain scenes. Our characters are not the smartest in this thing. And it's, you know,
like, I feel like that's why some journalists, because some of them aren't liking it. And I'm like, I think you're missing the point on our job, too. But I think a lot of other ones just, I don't know, maybe they feel seen, like, yes, our job is dangerous. And that's what they like can connect to that narrative so well. Because they tried to put us in the shoes of journalists in place of actually giving like more of a like political commentary. The film tries to be like, here's the politics, but that's just basically the backdrop to follow these journalists. And instead, you know, it tries to stay on a more neutral ground by and large, to where it just presents things to you and doesn't give you anything else. I don't think if this is how you do your job, how these people do it in there, girl, you're asking to be murdered. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, is that like a, that's not a real thing, is like, it? I was baffled. I was like, this doesn't really happen.
Even like some of these folks in this movie, I mean, there's a difference between getting a money shot and getting the important shot and just being reckless. You like, know, I was reckless.
I wanted to talk to you about that too, because I was like, I understand, like, okay, hey, I'm going to be, can you guys keep me safe in this room or whatever? And before you kill the president or whatever, I just want to get a shot. Great. But like, they're taking pictures of like, just like war. And I'm like, don't we have like 1,000 of these? Like, why do you need to take that picture of a lady screaming and like a, you know, I was like, I don't know, man. Is it really worth getting a bullet to your head? It was a lot of scenes like that, you know? Also too, like, I don't want to come off as like, here we go. It's just woke bullshit. But brother, I mean, I just saw way too many POCs die in this thing.
In the worst ways.
Like, in the worst ways, too.
That's the thing. And some people are like, everybody gets it. Not the same. And, I'll tell you that. Not the same.
Tarantino does this thing, too, where it's like, oh, well, it's being done by a person of color. But there's a guy. It's a great shot. It's a great shot. And, like, I love, it's very visceral. There's a shot of someone getting burned.
Yeah.
And because it's, and I feel like the way they worked around it was like, well, it's being done by black people, so you can't be mad. But it's like, I don't know, man. I don't think I need to see that. You know? And then, like, you know, there's another scene when someone's about to die, and I was like, it's black. And I just, I don't know. And then the scene with Jesse Plemons. I feel like we're spoiling Rift and all. But I apologize, people. We're just, you know, it's not on purpose. But, you know, I'm like, did those have to be Asians? Could those be like, I don't know, Italians or something like that? You know what I'm saying? That's not American. I don't know. It's certain decisions. I was like, I mean, And then I'm going on, you know, homeboy's track record, Alex Garland's. I'm looking at his, you know, I watched Ex Machina this week, and I watched Annihilation this week.
Did you ever watch Men?
Nah, man. Y'all told me this. Like, I'm not going
to. I mean, I thought it was terrible. So, yes. Well, I mean, but I couldn't remember if you watched it and hated it or if you just didn't watch it.
But I do love Ex Machina and Annihilation. I love them both. Me too. I think I've grown actually more love for Annihilation as time has gone on, especially the bear. That shit's crazy. But anyway.
One of the coolest things ever.
And the score is great. I didn't appreciate it when it came out. The score is like fantastic towards the end. But anyway. So I was like looking at his track record. I'm like, a lot of these. This cast is very light skinned. Even the people of color are very light skinned. So I was like, man, I just don't need to see a lot of dark skinned people get murdered left and right throughout this. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, this is why I've only watched like Django Unchained like once. I can't watch it. I don't need to watch it again. I just don't need this. And I say this every year. It's nothing new to me. I just, movies about slavery and abuse against like my people, I just don't need to see it, you know? Like Antebellum, all the movies, I don't need to see them, you know? And somebody in the mailbag was like, oh man, you should watch that show on Amazon called Them. And I was like, oh, you mean that ripoff of like Jordan Peele? And I was like, I just don't need this. And I know we got on, you know, we got on the Magical Negroes movie, you know, but like, it's just certain things I just don't need. You know what I mean? I don't go to the movies for this. So I don't know.
This movie, I mean, I don't know. It's a tough one because it is so well made. You know what I mean? Like, there's no denying. It's one of those movies.
Larry, I muted your mic by accident. I'm trying to fix my screen.
Well, hello.
Go ahead. It was only for a second.
Okay. It's just one of those interesting movies because you're like, obviously, you have to give it props for every technical aspect of it because it's really a well-made, well-executed film. I just wish, I don't know, I also think it's mismarketed. And when you call your movie Civil War, it's another one of those cases where people are like, oh, well, that's because you thought it was going to be political. It's called Civil War, first of all. And second of all, the marketing makes it seem like that. Like, we didn't just pull this out of our ass. Like, of course we thought it was going to be like more of a political commentary. And instead, it's just kind of like, let's go on this road trip with these journalists.
Yeah.
The horrors. So I don't know. I was disappointed because I wanted to love it because I was like, oh, I need to get back to good Alex Garland because I love Ex Machina and Annihilation both. I think they're both so good. Mm-hmm. And then Men was just really bad. And then this is better than Men. I'll say that. It is nowhere near Men level of horrible. But I don't know. I think maybe he needs to stick to, because all of his films have something to say. Ex Machina has something to say, and Annihilation have something to say. Mm-hmm. But they're not as rooted. I don't know. They're more philosophical. Whereas Men.
I think I want to go to sci-fi.
Yeah, Men really tries. I don't know. It's a really misguided messaging. Just horrible. Like everything about Men's depiction is way off the mark. Mm-hmm. And then this one, he says something without saying anything. I don't know. It's just very weird. So I'm like, Alex, if you do go back to film, get back into the sci-fi realm and make it more abstract because that's where you really shined.
Yeah, because Ex Machina and Annihilation, they're just gorgeous. I watched them both on 4K. They're gorgeous movies. And I want to go back to more like outlandish sci-fi. Like even in like Ex Machina, the house and all that stuff.
It looks amazing visual effects on
the visual effects.
Alex Vikander,
Alicia Vikander. Yeah, all that is great. All that was great. And then Annihilation, the shimmer, the war, like, you know, the kind of blending of like the organisms regarding animals and like flowers and that stuff is just so cool, you know. And I don't want to see like America. That's what I want to see. Like, you know, we got like Ryan Coogler about to do some vampires and whatnot. I want to see like just some different stuff.
Yeah,
you
know?
I feel like we're going to get another movie type like this in like 5 years or
something. Well, also this, I don't know, it's kind of tough, like, especially after we just came out of that. And now we're on the precipice of a World War III as we're speaking on this podcast right now. You know, at the any brink, it feels like World War III is about to erupt because what's happening in the Middle East and Israel is just madness. And so we have that. Plus, we have literally the rematch of Trump and Biden again in 2024.
Yeah.
To get such a nihilistic movie, because this is a very nihilistic message and a very nihilistic view of everything without even a glimmer of anything else. Is tough to kind of like want to sit through, as you say. And it's weird that I made fun of Leo because Leo is such a positive person here on the podcast, our friend. He's positive and he's, you know, a lot more happy and all that than I am generally. And he really liked Civil War. I was like, what the hell's happening? How did Leo like this nihilistic mean movie and I didn't? And it's weird because I think Annihilation is also actually really nihilistic, particularly with how it ends up being. And I loved it for that. So I'm like, you can do it. It just didn't work for me here.
Yeah, it's nuts to me.
You think it's going to have a deep dive or you think it's going to actually hold well because of all the divisive conversation?
I think if anything, it'll drop to like a... like a 10, you know, 9 maybe.
You think it's going to do anything outside of the US?
I think if it does this in the US, I can't see a massive thing outside of it, you know.
I'm just wondering, like, you know, usually when you have these US war movies, the rest of the world doesn't care. Maybe they're like, yes, US, have your own civil war.
So I can't see a massive change overseas. So all right, let's get into number two. What do we got?
So coming in at number two, after spending 2 weeks atop the box office, finally falling out of that top spot, is Godzilla X Kong The New Empire, which dropped 50% in week number three for $15.45 million domestic this weekend. That brings its total up to $157.9 million domestic and $436.5 million worldwide, with note that it has Japan opening coming later this month.
That is a great worldwide number. I didn't even realize it was up to that high in only 3 weeks. That is great. This is like what we were talking about, you know, the opening weekend of how big that first one really could have been. Had they waited or had they, like, you know, no pandemic at all, I really feel like that first one could have been like super massive for them. So, yeah, but at least this one is kind of making up the grounds that one did.
Yeah, and it looks like by the end of next week, it should pass Kong Skull Island to become the second highest in the MonsterVerse in the U.S., and it should also get past that 500 million mark here, probably by the end of next week or so. So it's looking good for the MonsterVerse right now.
Yeah, and I just think it's a great kind of overall haul for it, because I was not expecting it. But when I saw it again, the second time, I think it was the second weekend, I believe, last weekend, it was a great turnout still in IMAX.
Yeah. And especially with so many movies right now competing for that IMAX like screen, now that we have Civil War there, obviously Godzilla, Ghostbusters, Dune is still trying to hold on. It's like, damn, we got a lot of movies trying to compete and get into those premium screens right now.
I know, Dune trying to get back in there.
I know, I'm like, damn, Dune, let some other folks shine for a second, bro. They said, nah, bitch, move.
Okay, number three.
Okay, so in number three, actually a good hold for this film, finally, we have Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which made $5.8 million in its fourth weekend of release. That brings the latest Ghostbusters film up to $96.96 million domestic and $159.96 million worldwide.
Ghostbusters still doing pretty solid, I would say. Only a 35% drop, which is really good. They did lose like almost 500 theaters, but it didn't seem to kind of not bode well for them. So I think
because those first couple drops were severe for this film. So it's at least kind of like stabilized.
Right, right.
Hopefully it at least hits 100 million, which I think it will domestic.
Right.
200 million though. I don't know where it still has to open, but that's going to be rough. If it struggles to even hit 200 million worldwide, that's not what they were hoping for from this Ghostbusters. I'll say that.
You think they're going to wrap it up or what? I think it's time.
I think, I mean, it's interesting because Afterlife just kind of reinvigorated it, you know? And I know OG Ghostbusters fans loved that film and were so excited about where the franchise was going. Mm-hmm. And just one movie later, here we are, where it's like, is this done? Maybe Ghostbusters is over. I do hope maybe that sends a message that not all 80s properties need to come back. Back to the Future.
Back to the Future's next. I don't know how they're going to do it, though. The son of someone is going to, like, I don't know, find the DeLorean, and then it's going to just be like You already can see the trailer. Like, you know how the new Beetlejuice trailer starts, and it's like a little piano, and it's like, you're seeing the old town. Yeah, it's going to be like that. It's going to be some dork who, like, gets picked on. He's going to go into the garage. He's going to pull off the cover, the car cover, and it's going to be there. And it's going to be like, what is this? And then, that's it. And it's going to be called, what's it going to be called? Back to the Future, A New Age. It's coming, Larry. I'm going to give it until 2027. It's coming.
We'll see. Beetlejuice does, but that's another 80s property coming out this year. I don't know what it is, because it feels like them tapping into nostalgia worked for the 70s and it worked for the 90s kids so far, but the 80s it's such a weird thing. I feel like it's not working so well for the 80s.
I think it's burnout. I think it's like that Stranger Things nostalgia things kind of boomed. That whole kind of, oh my God, that's what they want. They want the 80s. And then we remember how that first It movie did. You know, all that stuff was just all kind of paired together, I feel like. And I think now it's sort of kind of like, all right, you know.
I think it's like we like the atmosphere. Like we like to feel like we're in the 80s. So all of the stuff that's set in the 80s does well. Like Stranger Things and stuff. Those are all set in the 80s. So it's fun to like kind of be in the world of the 80s. Mm-hmm. But when we try to go back to those franchises that were popular from the 80s, it just, I don't know, it doesn't connect with today. I think part of it is, I think a lot of the 80s, well, not necessarily like Ghostbusters or Back to the Future. Those are still pretty harmless in terms of stuff. But a lot of the 80s movies had some questionable choices, particularly in today's day and age, you know, with like robot girlfriends and taking control of women's minds and Animal House and shit. A lot of problematic-ish in a lot of 80s movies. So
And I totally see they're gonna try Terminator again. I totally 100%.
That's another franchise they've tried and they've tried and they've tried. Alien, I guess that's technically 70s, late 70s, but you know, they try and they try with these movies and these friends. Like they haven't been good in decades and we hate everyone you release. I don't know. Did you see that leak of that Xenomorph popcorn bucket?
I did. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I'm low-key a little bit hype.
Don't start. Don't start.
I'm about to be getting me a Xenomorph head. Don't play with me.
That's just going to be like $35. It's going to be... Oh, my God.
Nah, but I also saw a tangent. There's been a couple things here that have really, like... People are always talking about the theater experience this, the theater experience that, and then they want to complain. Shit. One, they're talking about horror movies. Two, I saw somebody complaining saying, give up on the popcorn buckets already. And it's like, look.
Ooh, I do not agree.
If you don't like it, don't buy it. But have you not noticed? Like, when half the Dune's marketing was the damn popcorn bucket. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are getting hyped over these little popcorn buckets and making them want to go to the movie theater to get it. Yeah. And so why are we discouraging something that has clearly been, I mean, obviously they've multiplied how much they're doing them. Mm-hmm. It's clearly been good for movie theaters.
Yeah, something I do not agree.
No, yeah, get excited. Like, people are having fun and getting excited to go to the movies. What, I don't know. If it's not your thing, cool, but just don't participate. I don't know why you're like, oh, get rid of it. I'm sick of these damn popcorn.
That, and when they did that Sunday IMAX, you know, before it released, I have never seen more of the special buckets in one theater. You might walk across, yeah, like two people have the, you know, special buckets, but no, that theater, everybody had them. And it was nuts. It was nuts.
It was low key a little bit like that. I mean, it wasn't as bad because I agree with you. When Dune, I mean, everybody had that damn bucket. When I went even to the press screening, because it was one of those that was like press plus, you know, general public. Could come for Godzilla X Kong. I didn't even know they had those buckets out because, oh my God, this man was talking to me in the line and getting on my nerves. So my mind was not really too much looking around. So I just got me a regular soda. And then all of a sudden, I'm seeing all these people walk past me and they got a big old popcorn bucket and this cute little cup with the Godzilla and stuff. I was like, what the hell? What? They got Godzilla cups? And I bought this regular ass just drink? Oh,
well,
hell no.
I saw the Kong ones, not the Godzilla ones though.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I was like, it was nuts to me.
But I know. So anyway, this is box office. And you know, we're talking about theater experience. And I don't know. Personally, I think we're in that age, our age group, you know, we have like a little bit of money now, at least, you know, not much. AMC. Listen, don't hear me say that and think, oh, that's right, we're charging double. No, bitch. We got a little bit of money that we can spend on some bullish. And we having fun. We're like the nostalgia group. Our age group, we are all about living out our childhood.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you put that merch out there, our bitch asses are buying.
Oh my God, especially like I'm still bummed that I never got the Scream helmet. I didn't get the Batman one, but I do have my little Miles Morales. I got the little Ant-Man one. You know, I think these are great. I think for the price, I think these are good to have because like you said, you and I, we talked about it, how you can go get like the actual helmet, but it'll go cost you like about $100.
At least. Yeah.
I've seen the Star-Lord ones in person. I've seen the Iron Man one. The Iron Man one, I think it's like 150. You know, you can go ahead. But I think for like a low budget kind of helmet to have, I think it's cool to have these like up here.
And sometimes you're thinking about it. You're like, all right, I'm already going to buy popcorn, which is what, $10 at least?
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, do I want that for an extra? Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay, yes.
Yeah, I think 100%. Okay, what are we at now? Number four.
All right, coming in at number four with the smallest drop in the entire top 10 this week, we have Kung Fu Panda 4, which made $5.5 million in its sixth weekend of release, dropping only 29.2% this week. That gives Kung Fu Panda 4 a new domestic total of $173.68 million and a worldwide total of $452.6
million. Really? I mean, this movie has been super surprising as far as how well it's been doing, but only a 29% drop in what week is it? Week six.
Yeah.
Dang. Dang.
It's doing really well, especially a franchise that has been dormant for a little bit. Like, you know, Kung Fu Panda, everybody knows it, but it's not like one of the big franchises.
Yeah.
And so for them to take that break and then be able to come back and still kill it like this, I mean, especially after the year DreamWorks had last year. I mean, I guess they had Trolls, which was a success at the box office, unfortunately. But they also had that Ruby Gilman, which was an epic flop at the box office. So, you know, DreamWorks coming back with one of their properties and hitting it, I think it's a good thing for them and at least a good movie for, not like Trolls, damn it. I'm tired. And these Trolls fans are wild, Dwayne.
Don't start.
But no, Kung Fu Panda, yeah, already at almost, you know, inching toward 500 million worldwide. And this is the cheapest one so far. They only spent about 80 million on it. So it's definitely in the profit margin, big time for them. So I guess we better prepare ourselves for a Kung Fu Panda 5.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I cannot see them not.
Now, don't pull what you pulled with How to Train Your Dragon. We don't need no CGI, quote-unquote, live-action Kung Fu Panda DreamWorks. Leave it alone.
Because you know that's what they're going to do.
Oh, too. My God. They see in this box office, they're like, oh, maybe we should try live-action. No, leave it. Shit.
Let them be, Larry. All right, lastly, number five. Look at this.
Yo, them new releases dropped right on out of the top five. At number five, we have Dune Part 2 in week number 7, much like Kung Fu Panda just refuses to go away. Dune Part 2 made $4.3 million in its 7th weekend of release, making a 41.9% drop at the domestic box office. That brings the new Dune film up to $272.1 million domestic and $683.9 million at the worldwide box office.
All right, look at my Dune. I feel like it's only gonna like go get lower. I wouldn't say it's gonna increase when it gets to IMAX back, but I think it's gonna be like a lower drop because this is 41%. So I think once they get that gig back in IMAX, people want to experience that again. I feel like we're gonna go back to like a 35%, another 40% maybe. So I think this is still really, really solid for Dune Part 2. What's the worldwide again right now?
682. Yeah, or 83, will. My bad, 683.
Hey, man. So it's not going to do like
A billion
or anything. We were saying like 800.
Right. We were in the 700. I said around Batman, 7, which was like almost 800. So 750 was my guess. And it looks like it's going to fall right in there.
But it's looking pretty good. And I think either way, the way it's going to end, I don't think Warner Brothers is taking like any slight for this. They're very happy with this number, especially how the first one released.
Cost under $200 million to make, so it's already over tripled that budget. And this is one of those blockbusters where they're making money. Plus, it's going to be an awards contender. So, it's going to get them the accolades. Plus, it's going to get them the money. So that's just a win-win all around.
Yeah. Okay, so let's look at the other kind of stories from the weekend. Monkey Man and the First Omen only dropping around 50%.
Yeah, you know? Decent drops for both of those, especially, you know, a horror film for the First Omen dropping under 60% is solid. Mm-hmm. The Long Game, that was, they did mystery movies this past week, and for the first time I've seen, they were different. Like AMC showed something different than Regal.
What?
It was wild. So the Regal showed The Long Game, I guess, and AMC showed Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Mm-hmm. But Long Game, I hadn't heard much about it. I know what it is. It's like that Latino sports movie, golf, I think.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Shrek 2, a decent little re-release.
Not bad at all. 1.3 million.
Pixar is mad, y'all. Because all their little re-releases didn't add up to this, I don't think.
No, they were doing like 600 and 700,000.
Ooh, and Shrek 2 said, bye, bitch.
We did have a steep drop for Immaculate, which I'm surprised they took it out of 1,100 theaters.
Again, I'm telling you, I think it's because of the First Omen.
Yeah.
They're like, bitch, we got a new version of you over here, so we don't need to play both of these movies anymore. Yeah. Arcadian, oof. Poor Nicolas Cage, huh?
That's him? Oh.
You know that movie? Have you seen it with his sons? And some kind of apocalypse happened. It's really small, but
that's why I'm surprised. That's why I was like, oh, I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm. Someone like you took a big hit, but what is that? Oh, it's a Fathom event, that's why. Okay.
Yeah.
They never
So give me one second. Okay, so there hasn't been any like forecast in a long time, like in a few weeks, actually. The last forecast we had was for March 28th. I'm trying to like update it and stuff. Maybe it's just been a while, but as far as like tracking goes, we don't have much tracking. it's all kind of pretty much the same, but I guess you and I can just give our own kind of what we think about. Next week we have Abigail. I mean, what are we thinking? I feel like this marketing has been atrocious. Oh, I think I know why.
Why are you hating on Abigail?
Nah, man, you know why the marketing's been bad, Larry. You know.
Oh.
You know why? But anyway, what you thinking? What you thinking? I'm gonna go with 15.
Yeah, I was thinking around the 15 mark too. So there we go.
Are you hating on me? And I'm like, yeah, we about to say.
I don't know. Like these kind of mid horror films. I don't know. 15 is my go to. Yeah, I don't know. Trailer. It doesn't have anything. I know some people in my personal life, both, that a couple of people are like, ooh, that looks horrible. And some people are excited and hyped.
To be fair, I mean, the trailers just drive me insane. I mean, I've seen it like 1,000 times.
I think it looks so good. I'm so hyped for Abigail.
Jesus, I don't know.
I'm so excited. But I do keep looking at my theater on Thursday, and that ish is empty at the theater specifically. Going to Thursday.
Let's take a look at my theater.
But I think horror's one where it'll fill up. I mean, I don't have I think it'll fill up decently by Thursday. But right now,
why are you doing it like that? Well, I have an astounding 3 people.
Yeah, see, I'm telling you, it's looking empty right now.
Dolby, we have an astounding 6 people in Dolby.
Yeah.
Well.
And then Guy Ritchie, what did that Fortune movie do last year?
I don't remember.
Operation Fortune or whatever.
But that was terrible.
It did horrible. $3 million.
Yeah.
But then he had that good one last year, the war movie that actually was really solid with Jake Gyllenhaal.
The Covenant.
Does
like
anybody
that?
Release as many films as Guy Ritchie?
I feel like the movie to compare this next film to is The Gentleman. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, The Gentleman, which was good. I liked The Gentleman.
The Gentleman.
Which
Gentleman did $10 million. So I'm going to go around the same for this one.
I think that's a safe bet. The Gentleman had a stacked cast without a really big star. You know, like, of course, big stars, but there wasn't anybody you would think, like, would really draw people. Mm-hmm. And as much as everybody loves Henry Cavill, we've seen, I mean, his stuff don't draw like we wish. What did Spy, the man from U.N.C.L.E. do?
Ooh, I don't think not great. Not great at all.
That also was Henry Cavill, and I'm pretty sure that was, what's his face, wasn't it? Guy Ritchie?
Yeah.
So that was them collabing. Yeah, 13. So.
Yeah, again, I'm going to go around the same for this one.
Yeah, I think, like 10 to 13. I think the reception yesterday seemed pretty positive. My theater was actually packed. Yes, I was like, what the hell?
Oh, was it?
Okay, this mug is packed, and they put us in a pretty big theater, so. I don't know. They'll probably lump that number into Thursday too, because they always do. I'll go 13. I'll go with Man from U.N.C.L.E. number. You know what? No, I won't. I'm gonna say both of them are open around 15, and that's gonna be the battle for number one next week. Abigail, the two new releases will finally battle for number one.
These are pretty low. As far as like what's gonna open the most,
not low.
I mean, come on, Larry. I think Abigail is gonna win though, like 15.
Oh, shit.
The Gentleman maybe like 9 or 10.
I'll be hyped if we get a couple overperformers next weekend, y'all.
I mean,
All right.
So going further out, Challengers is not really changing. So
that's another one. I'm really happy to see it. I'm scared that Challengers is going to make them never do that kind of movie on IMAX again.
Yeah, I'm shocked at, like, the tracking is really low for it.
Like,
and it's at, like, 7 to 12 million.
Like, if those IMAX theaters are empty for Challengers, they are never going to put a movie like that in there again, y'all. Scared.
I just did a tweet when I'm like, man, it's so great having these, like, non-crazy... You know,
and Civil War did well, but that's a movie. Even the trailers, you kind of feel like, all right, this feels kind of IMAX-y. And once you get in there, it warrants the IMAX. And I think Challengers does too, because it's shot so beautifully. And I'm excited to get like that sound design in IMAX. I think it's going to be really good. But I feel like when you're watching that trailer, people are like, you want me to pay $25 instead of $15?
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah. So I'm really scared. They're never going to give them a chance again after Challenger.
I think you're right. Yeah.
But they're doing that little 22nd. They're doing that little early access for that one too. So I guess we'll see. Hopefully it does. You know, hopefully people go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just nervous. I'm nervous for little Challengers. Luca, look, we love him. He creates great films. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't create particularly, you know, general audience popular films. So I think Challengers will probably be his biggest to date.
Yeah.
But that's not saying much given his box office track record. So there we go.
Well, that's depressing.
What about your Fall Guy? What you got?
Fall Guy? I actually think Fall Guy would do like 20.
I think it'll get... It's giving me Free Guy vibes, you know, like,
yeah,
Ryan Reynolds, well, which did almost 30, right? I mean, yeah, Free Guy overperformed. I think we were all shook by Free Guy. So Fall Guy, I think they finally have a new trailer, Dwayne. They're showing that new trailer now.
They're still showing me the other one. Driving. So I feel like AMC, we're going to go another tangent. But I feel like, but the show's over, everybody. I mean, the box office is done. We talked about it. But I feel like these theaters, if there's a lot of new trailers to show, I think you warrant that 30 minutes of trailers. Fine. If you got the same 7, I think it's time to, like, cut these down. Brother, like, if I hear, like, that damn Fall Guy music... You know, if I see fucking Ryan Gosling running off the damn helicopter one more time, if I hear fucking Glenn Powell say, "You ride the damn twisters," or whatever he says, if I hear Chris Hemsworth say, "Lady and gentlemen," if I hear any of these shits again, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to actively, like, go. And this is all this. And I had not seen that Deadpool trailer once in the theater.
Really? I haven't seen it
once. I'm baffled. Well,
that's wild.
And Larry, it's not like I get to the movie on time because I like to be comfortable and I like to hopefully see some new shit. I get there as soon as Maria Menounos is wrapping up when I get to. So it's not like I'm getting there late. It's like, the one trailer I don't get tired of watching, though, especially in IMAX, it was fantastic, was Long Legs. I will never get tired of that trailer. But these trailers are driving me insane. And I'm just like, oh my God, what else? I feel like I'm missing one. Challengers, I've only seen it a few times.
No, that Challengers trailer still hits hard for me.
It does.
It just makes me excited to watch it again.
Oh, okay, the other one is Abigail. Fuck. Game. God.
I like to play with my food.
Enough. It's just enough already. I got it. If I see these. Finally, they have a new Furiosa trailer.
They do.
Finally.
And a new Fall Guy, but they're still showing you the old one. But
they're still showing me the fucking. Oh, man. I'm like, what is. And I feel like each time I've gone to the movies, I feel like I've seen the same one. So I feel like if you don't have anything to show.
They didn't really show me the Long Legs trailer.
Oh my God. I've seen it like 3 times now.
Really? I haven't seen it at all. See, that's the one for me. They haven't shown it at all here.
They showed it before Civil War and like it was in the IMAX ratio and I was so hype. I love that trailer. Like just the way it starts, the music. I love all of it. Oh, there's another trailer that is just driving me insane too. It's, oh my God, I'm blanking terribly. I just had it in my head. But the Abigail one, let me go on AMC's like or something. Because there's one more. I'm like, oh my God. I got it, guys.
Well, here's the thing with AMC's new package. They do like the cut down version of Nicole now. Like, so they premiered one of the new ones, which isn't really, I don't know. The ADR is a little bit weird on this new one that they did with her cutting in with the sound you can feel or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I don't like the new one at all.
Really. I'm like, I prefer the old one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do too. Maybe because we're used to it. Oh, yeah, the other one that's getting annoying is Bad Boys Forever, whatever it's called.
Oh,
it's driving. It's just everything.
What?
Oh my God. I think starting this week, what am I seeing? Abigail and I think I'm going to start going like late. You know, I can't do these trailers anymore. If I hear Will Smith say in 5, 4, like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore.
Oh,
fuck.
My word. But no, I think AMC, that's their other problem, is I think their new stuff is really well produced and it looks good. It's just a lot. Like, so they start you with an AMC thing. And then they go to trailers, and then they come back with this AMC where they like do this dancing, and they like do all the popcorn, all that.
Oh, and I about want to pull my eyes out when they get into that part, and like I'm like, yeah, we're getting to it, and then these fuckers are dancing, and I'm like, oh my God, AMC, please.
And then they do Nicole, so they have three separate AMC ads in the trailer portion of the show.
And then if you see it in like a high format, after Nicole, there's another one, the new Dolby one or the new IMAX one.
Yeah,
I don't know, dude.
It's a lot.
I feel like we need to plan.
So yeah, we're talking about 30 minutes of trailers, but about 15 minutes of that, it feels like, is just ads for the theater. At least 10. It feels like, I don't know, a good 10 minutes of that is just ads for the theater or the format. And then they play so many trailers.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. And I don't know why theaters haven't caught on to this is too much. Like, I feel people constantly complain about it.
And I also think it's just bad. Like, people are already tired before the movie starts, and that's not okay. You know, okay, so there, Alex and I saw Civil War. We got there before 7, you know, like 10 minutes before 7. So the movie started, The movie started at like 7:38. And then there was one time that I wanted to do a double feature. And I was cutting it really close. And then I walked in. I think the next movie I was seeing, it was Pearl and like The Woman King. I don't know. It's a baffling double feature. But I got out of Pearl and I was like rushing. I'm rushing to like The Woman King because it's starting. I didn't really see how long it's been going on. Later, I walked in, I seen Nicole Kidman's foot in the puddle, and I said, oh, okay, you know, the shit hasn't even started yet. And it's been like 45 minutes. It's nuts. It's fucking nuts.
Nuts.
It's nuts.
Theaters, you got to cut this down.
Oh, man. I don't know,
it's too much. You're making it hard. Like, now I feel like an old person. I used to be, like, somebody who would go to, like, late showings. And now I'm like, if it's past 7, I don't want to go. Like, 7 is, like, my late 8.
That is late for me, yeah.
You know, like, 8, we're pushing it. And part of that is because of all of this. I know the movie ain't actually going to start till 8:30 at the earliest. And you're like, shit. Plus, movies are so long anymore that you're like, shit, all right, we're starting at 8:30.
If a movie starts at tomorrow, 7, yes, like, exactly.
You know, and with us, if I go on a Thursday, say, I work tomorrow, plus I want to review it. So I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to have to go home and record a review and edit it and post it. Like, oh, no. So, like, now I'm like, get me to 5. Like, that 5 o'clock showing, I will rush out of work and head straight to the damn movie theater to get there at 5 p.m. because it's too much. So we got to do something about it.
I feel like if a movie's, like, 2 hours – and it's supposedly 7 o'clock is the start time, and I'm getting out of there at like 10:30. There is a problem, you know.
That's how I always put in my phone. Like, you know how they give you a little time. If I have to schedule something, if it starts at 7, I'm gonna put out at about at least 10. 7 to 10 plus drive. Yeah, I'm not getting home till maybe 11 is when I plan to be home.
Yes, and that's why Alex and I were gonna plan. We were gonna review it together. You know, and it's like 11, and I'm like, dude, I'm going to bed. This is nuts. So, all right, everyone, that's it though for the box office show. If you listened this long, I appreciate it. Thanks for letting
me. I know a lot of y'all have the same complaint as us.
Thanks for letting Larry and I vent to you guys about the movie theater experience. It's awful these days. I mean, it truly is. It's not good these days, but I love it, and I'll never like stop going, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's tough. You got to get those indie theaters that just start. Indie theaters, if you have any around you and you're going to go see like something like Late Night with the Devil would play at an indie theater near me. Man, I walk in there at 7. That thing is started at 7:05. Great.
Yeah, they'll show like a little they do like a little quick package of like what's coming up at their theater, and then that's it.
Great. Like when I went to go see The Killer, they showed like two Netflix trailers, and they got going. They said, "All right, thanks for coming." You know, So, all right, everyone, thank you guys for joining us. My name is Dwayne. Larry, why don't you let everyone know they can follow you?
Yeah, you can find me over at Chili Boy Productions on YouTube and Twitter, and then Chili Boy or YouTube and Instagram, and then Chili Boy YT over on Twitter.
All right, everyone, you can follow me on Twitter as well at CinemaniacNV4. Follow the podcast, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Cinemania World. Thank you guys for joining us. My name is Dwayne. That was Larry. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.